This is Express FM.
Supported by Highbury College. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Pompey are in it to win it, and they put on a dominant display against non-league outfit Kings Lynn on Saturday to progress through to round three of the FA Cup.
Hawula's popped up, he's one-on-one with Barrows, and he's going to take him on and come into the penalty area, and Hawula wants to shoot, what a goal! Magnificent strike from Jordi Hawula.
Seemingly forgotten forward man Jordi Hawula scored the game's final goal, giving the Blues a victory by the scoreline of 6-1. On tonight's show, we'll be hearing the post-match thoughts of Kenny Jackett, who is quietly confident going into the upcoming league matches.
We all know it's going to be a difficult period because we've got some big games, but that's what we want. We want to be up there and competing, and we are. And we're looking forward to these games, as difficult as they look.
Captain and goal scorer Tom Naylor will also be sharing his views, and he's been talking about that wonder strike from the weekend.
Yeah, that's a sweet strike for me, and I think it's the best goal in my career. Yeah, like, I don't score many outside the box like that.
Stick around between now and seven to hear the thoughts of both of them. So, on FM, DAB, digital radio, online and through your smart speaker, you're listening to Express FM, and a very warm welcome to you all to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very, very good evening and welcome along to this Monday Football Hour, brought to you in partnership with Stagecoach Across the South, getting you across the city with the minimum of fuss. Download their app today simply by searching for Stagecoach on either the Apple app or Google Play Store, from which you can plan your next journey. As always, Blues fans, this is the platform for you to have your voices heard. Do you have anything you'd like to say on Pompey's previous performance? Any questions to pose to the panel? Or perhaps a score prediction for the next fixture? You can get in touch with us here at Express FM between now and seven. We would absolutely love to hear from as many of you as possible tonight. 81400 is the number to text, starting your messages with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. But before we delve into any of those, we're going to take you all back to Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, as Pompey and Kings Lynn Town prepare to draw battle in round two of this season's FA Cup. Andy Moon and Alan McLaughlin had you covered with a commentary of this one.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
10 years ago, Kings Lynn Town were being formed out of the ashes of the old Kings Lynn FC, and Portsmouth were starting what would be the most tumultuous of decades by reaching an FA Cup final, only to lose to Chelsea at Wembley. Here we are, 10 years on, and the sides meeting in the FA Cup. And while certainly not equals, a lot closer than the two clubs were a decade ago, and we're ready to get things underway. Portsmouth going from left to right as we look at things from our position at the back of the south stand. Kings Lynn go from right to left, so kicking towards the Fratton end in the first 45 minutes, and the ball goes straight out of play for a Portsmouth throw inside their own half. Raggett, Nicolaisen, Curtis in a three to come from the edge of the penalty area. They break. Ball comes in now from Pring to the edge of the six-yard box. A header from Nicolaisen is into the back of the net. And Portsmouth lead within 2 minutes. The big Dane gets a recall. He should have had a goal in the last round. Sean Raggett won't be able to take that one away from him. It's Portsmouth 1, Kings Lynn Town 0. Ooh, Tom Naylor, poor touch from him. And Kings Lynn are driving forward here. Naylor trying to get back and trying to win the ball back just outside the penalty area. Power shot just wide of the post. Wow. That was close. Pompey come down the left-hand side. Good ball down towards Curtis at the dead ball line. Pulls it back to the edge of the penalty area. It comes through to Williams. Naylor's shot. Oh, what a goal! What a strike from Tom Naylor. You can't stop him scoring. There's nothing the keeper can do about that. It's straight in the top corner. Pompey double their lead. It's Portsmouth 2, Kings Lynn 0. In it comes, high, deep towards the far post. Header is into the net from Raggett. Rose above the whole Kings Lynn defence. Down into the back of the net. A second FA Cup goal of the season for Raggett. It's Portsmouth 3, Kings Lynn 0. Back to McCauley, who's under pressure from Ryan Williams. And McCauley runs into Ellis Harrison and gives him the ball. Can Harrison now feed Williams? Good run from Ellis Harrison. What can Harrison do? Harrison plays it for Harness in the box. Harness, will he get the shot away? He will, and he'll score. Left-footed effort from Marcus Harness. Drills it into the bottom corner. 8 for the season for Marcus Harness. Portsmouth 4, Kings Lynn 0. Clunan is one of a number of players in this squad who came through the Norwich youth system. He's going to send a right-footed outswing, a deep towards the far post. That wasn't really the contact that McCauley was looking for, and Raggett clears up towards halfway. Headed by Kings Lynn back to the danger area, and they've got a man over here. Shot to come in on goal and into the back of the net. And Kings Lynn have themselves a consolation. Dale Southwell has drilled it into the far corner. Southwell, it's a fine finish, and Kings Lynn are on the score sheet. It's fourth of the season. It's not going to change the result, though. It's Portsmouth 4, Kings Lynn 1. Tring and Harness and Hawula. That's good from Hawula to get Tring away down the left-hand side. Only Harrison to aim for in the middle. Can Tring find him with the ball? He's looking for him. Oh, is that hit the near
that's
post?
Penalty.
Hit the goalkeeper. Penalty given. Tring was taken out as he took the cross or sent it in, and Portsmouth will have the chance to make it 5. Harrison looking for goal number 3 of the season. He'll step up right-footed and score, sending the goalkeeper the wrong way. Portsmouth re-established the 4-goal lead. It's Portsmouth 5, Kings Lynn 1. Hawula's popped up. He's one-on-one with Barrows, and he's going to take him on and come into the penalty area. And Hawula wants to shoot. What a goal! Magnificent strike from Jordy Hawula. What a way to get your first Portsmouth goal. Drilling a shot into the top corner with his right foot. Portsmouth 6, Kings Lynn 1. Portsmouth end with a 7. Left hand in the air from Harness. In it comes, deep towards the far post. Header from Nicolaisen is off the post and wide, and that was the final action. The game started with a Nicolaisen goal. It nearly ended with one as well. And Portsmouth will have to settle just for the 6 this afternoon. It's a pretty impressive victory.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
So it was 6 for Pompey on Saturday afternoon as they brushed aside non-league opponents Kings Lynn Town at Fratton Park. Joining me this evening to go over the events of that win first and foremost is Ryan Honey. Ryan, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thanks, Jake. It's good to be back, mate.
And alongside you, Ryan, on the other end of the line, I'm pleased to bring in Ben Chu. Ben, good evening to you as well, mate, and thanks for calling in tonight.
Yeah, evening, Jake. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure, as always, lads. Before we get started tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to take a moment to remember former Blues midfielder Papa Bouba Diop, who sadly passed away yesterday following a long illness. The Senegalese international first came to England in 2004, signing for Fulham in the Premier League on a deal worth £6 million. Bouba Diop made the switch to Fratton Park in 2007 for a reported fee of £3.5 million and would go on to etch his name in Pompey folklore, playing a huge part in the Blues' 2008 FA Cup triumph. He would go on to play for the likes of IEK Athens, West Ham United and Birmingham City before retiring in 2013. Diop was nicknamed the Wardrobe by his English admirers, featured 63 times for the Senegalese national team, for whom he scored 11 goals, the most notable of which undoubtedly coming in the 2002 World Cup, where he announced himself to the world. He netted in Senegal's 1-0 group stage victory over reigning world champions France, a result which would ultimately contribute to the French's early elimination from the competition, in which Senegal famously reached the quarterfinals. The midfielder scored 3 times during that heroic World Cup campaign and, unsurprisingly, is now regarded as a legend in the country. Ryan Honey, some very, very sad news there from the weekend. Papa Bouba Diop, part of that 2008 FA Cup win, sadly no longer with us. A real fighter, both on and off the pitch, and it's a real, real shame to hear this. 42 is no age whatsoever.
No, he's been taken way, way too soon. He was an absolutely outstanding player for us. I remember he was one of the first players that I see at Bratton Park as a youngster, and I just remember seeing him in the middle of the park, and he was bossing it. He was an absolute machine. No wonder he got the nickname the Wardrobe. He was an absolute beast in the middle, yeah. And like you say, he was a fighter on and off the pitch. And he'll go down, like you say, in Pompey folklore, and it'll be remembered for all the right reasons, because he was a real asset for us back in the day.
Yeah. Some tributes also coming in from Twitter. Matt Greenfield says, Diop, Diarra and Muntari across the middle were absolutely solid. Rest in peace, big man, says Matt Greenfield on Twitter. And Scott Turnbull will always remember the moment he was walking down the Pompey alleyway before a game and Papa Booba Diop walked past him. I couldn't believe the size of the bloke, he says. Devastating news. He was so underrated. Rest in peace, Papa. Scott Turnbull on Twitter there. And Ben, you're of a similar age to myself. Papa Booba Diop and the team he played in, really around the club at the same sort of time, you know, we started getting into football and really understanding the game a bit more. What a time that was to be a Pompey fan, and what a fantastic player he was, as Ryan's already mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you say, we were getting into it about the same time. Those were the days, really. But, you know, like you say, he's got the nickname he's got because, yeah, fantastic player. You know, he's part of some of the big games, like the FA Cup final, the AC Milan game as well. He's one of those players, yeah, you grew up watching, so we'll be sorely missed.
Everyone here at Express FM, myself, Ben and Ryan, of course, send their deepest condolences to the friends, family and former colleagues of Papa Booba Diop, the former Pompey powerhouse who has sadly died at the age of 42. Okay, we're now going to hear from the manager, Kenny Jackett, who has given his post-match thoughts after the full-time whistle at Fratton Park on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, really pleased. Started well with an early goal, which obviously does help you. And now for us anyway, I thought we sort of enjoyed it. Second half, passed the ball very well and scored some excellent goals. Very good.
You could have been tempted to make a lot more changes given the lower league competition, but you're very much a believer of winning breeds winning.
Yeah, I am. And also, you know, we've made five changes, of which probably Alex Bass is the only one who hasn't had, you know, regular football. All the other lads that have played have all been playing and been there or thereabouts. And, you know, I did think it gave me the opportunity to rest one or two players that I thought that can maybe benefit from it, because we have a busy schedule. And, you know, I was very confident of the players coming in. We've got quite a good squad at the moment, and only Michael Jacobs not available to me today. So that's a good position to be in, because I think we're quite strong.
After the first goal, Kings Lynn came back into it. How important was it to reassert your dominance either side of half-time?
Yeah, we did. And also, you know, for us, there's sort of key moments in games, and you have to be ready and you have to be right. And we always knew that perhaps, you know, the second half, as the game wore on, you know, we'd probably be fitter. No disrespect to Kings Lynn. But you have to be in a position then to be able to use that. And you know, we were good in the opening period, scored a goal, and very, very pleased then with the attitude right the way through. And by the end anyway, deserved the win, scored some excellent goals.
Doesn't matter how they go in, they all count the same, but you must be delighted to see some excellent efforts out there. The boys really playing with some confidence at the moment.
Yeah, and you know, our season's there's sort of ahead of us, which is good to see. I mean, it's good to get through in this particular competition. Obviously, we all know, you know, what we want to do in the league, we know that, but similarly, if you can get through to the big rounds and try to draw a Premier League side in the FA Cup, that's great as well, and hopefully the draw's kind to us and we get one.
Away to Blackpool on Tuesday, the game's come thick and fast now.
Yeah, it's a good period. We you know, we'd rather play than train anyway. And, you know, for the lads, we all know it's going to be a difficult period because we've got some big games, but that's what we want. We want to be up there and competing, and we are. And we're looking forward to these games, as difficult as they look.
The gaffer there speaking about Pompey's 6-1 victory over Kings Lynn in the FA Cup on Saturday afternoon. I'm going to bring back my two guests for tonight's show, Ryan Honey and Ben Chu. Ryan Honey, first of all, a 6-1 victory on Saturday. And, okay, you can mention the calibre of the opposition, but you can only really beat what's in front of you. And that was quite an emphatic performance from the Blues.
No, it was. And I think it was a very professional performance. It was a comprehensive scoreline. And I've got to say, I think Kenny Jackett got it completely right. The squad rotation, bringing in Ben Close back into the team, giving Pring back in for Brown, resting Brown, and also resting John Marquis. And I think the fact that we were able to do that will only put us in a better position in the next few weeks when we face Blackpool tomorrow night and Peterborough on Saturday. I think the players that we can bring into the team are just as good as the players that we can take out. And I think that's a real credit to Kenny Jackett.
Yeah. And 6 goals on Saturday, Ben, 6 different goal scorers. Again, you can mention the calibre of the opposition. You can mention the competition in which we scored them in. Okay, it's not the league, it's not our bread and butter, but no matter what competition, no matter who you're playing against, 6 goals in a competitive fixture, like I say, scored by 6 different players, that will only really breed confidence heading into Tuesday night's game away to Blackpool.
Yeah, it was a fantastic effort. I really enjoyed the game. Obviously, professionally saw out Kings Lynn, but it was just flowing football, you know. I thought even with the changes that we made, we still look like a particularly strong side. You know, players that, like Nicolaisen, hadn't quite been given the minutes so far, played really well.
And we've been crying out, Ryan, for quite a while, I know I have been anyway, for a thrashing. And we essentially got one on Saturday. That was the first time Pompey scored 6 goals in a single game since that 6-1 victory over Cheltenham on the final day of the League Two season, just over 3.5 years ago now. So, you know, I know you're not expecting 6 goals, you know, per match, but it is nice to see a victory as comfortable as that. You know, it's good to see, you know, not just John Marquis and Marcus Harness and Ronan Curtis, you know, firing on all cylinders, but as Ben mentioned, a few of the fringe players coming into the team as well.
Oh, no, for sure. Like I said, we've got quality in depth, and I think that'll only help us throughout the season. There's goals all over the pitch, and I think we're one of the highest scoring teams in England with 40-something goals already, and I think that just emphasises just how dangerous we are going forward. And like you say, we haven't had a thrashing, in recent years, but we're still scoring goals, and that's the main thing.
Yeah. Okay, then it is time now for a very quick break, but the three of us will be back very shortly to continue going over the talking points from Saturday's FA Cup victory, as well as moving on to discuss the futures of players who aren't quite getting enough game time this season. Don't forget, you can have your say back home as well. 81400 is the number to text. Send your name and message to that number and start off with the word Express. Otherwise, pompey@expressfm.com is our email address, @expressfm is our Twitter handle, and facebook.com/pompeylive is where to find us on Facebook. This evening, we'd like to know how you feel about Paul Downing, James Bolton, Jordi Hawula and Rasmus Nicolaisen. Do you believe these players have a future at Fratton Park? And we're also looking for your score predictions too, ahead of Pompey's next league fixture away to Blackpool tomorrow night. After the break, we'll be hearing some more post-match reactions from Saturday's FA Cup triumph. Captain Tom Naylor has been speaking about the victory, as well as looking ahead to a busy December for the Blues.
We've got 5 massive games coming up. We've got Blackpool Tuesday, and then we've got Peterborough coming up. So it's a big, big month, massive month for us. And we'll have to see where we are after January.
Join us for even more Pompey discussion in just a few moments' time, right here on 93.7 Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome to part 2 of this Monday Football Hour on Express FM, driven to you by Stagecoach across the South. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide cheap, reliable and frequent services all across our great waterfront city and even further beyond too. Head on over to stagecoach.co.uk for more information regarding the latest COVID guidelines. We're going to bring back Ryan Honey and Ben Chu to continue talking about Saturday's 6-1 victory at home to Kings Lynn Town in the FA Cup. But before we do that, we're going to hear from Stephen Jerome on the emails he's got in touch this evening. Stephen, a very good evening to you. Thanks for getting in touch, by the way. He says, "Good evening, lads. It was a very good performance from Pompey on Saturday. I thought the whole team played very well. But we should give credit to Kings Lynn as well. I hear so often people say you can only play what's put in front of you. But to be fair to Kings Lynn, they came to Pompey and gave it a good go as well. They didn't come to just sit back and hit us on the break. I actually thought they caused us a few problems around our box at times and had some good chances. They scored a good goal for their efforts, but I think our quality showed in the end. We scored some great goals. Jordi Huula's goal was the pick of the bunch for me, but Naylor's strike was great as well. I'm hoping for a really good glamour tie at home against one of the big Premier League teams in the third round. I think Tottenham would be a good one to get. Finally, I wanted to give Papa Bouba Diop a mention. I was deeply shocked to hear that he passed away at the weekend. He was a fantastic player and he will be sadly missed. So sad he's been taken from us too soon and at such a young age, says Steve in Southsea. Stephen, thank you very much for getting in touch tonight. And Steve has actually hit the nail on the head there, Ryan, in terms of, you know, we mentioned how you can only beat what's in front of you, and Kings Lynn are newbies to the National League this season, but they did give it a real good go on Saturday. You've got to give them credit for that. And at times they did look quite a threat to Pompey's back four, but as Stephen's mentioned, Pompey showing their class in the end, and I think Ben actually alludes to it in the first part. It was a professional performance on our part, but Kings Lynn did give it a go, and that's what you like to see.
Oh, no, they did. I mean, I think the early goal from Nicolaisen, honestly, I think it really helped us, because I think their plan was to come and sort of sit back, play free at the back and hit us on the counter. But that early goal sort of gave us that springboard into scoring all the goals that we did, because we got them up the pitch. Although they caused us a few problems, like you say, it never really looked as though the result was going in the other direction. But, you know, they caused us problems, but we got the job done, and that's the main thing.
Yeah. Let's go through the goals then, shall we? There's quite a lot of them to get through, but we'll go through them anyway. Yeah, the first one, as you mentioned there, Ryan, just 2 minutes in, 1 minute and 50 seconds was the time on the scoreboard when Rasmus Nicolaisen leapt highest to put the Blues ahead.
To the edge of the six-yard box, a header from Nicolaisen is into the back of the net, and Portsmouth lead within 2 minutes.
And Ben, you know, we've spoken after the Plymouth Argyle game a couple of weeks back, and the two players from that match who didn't have the greatest of games were Cam Pring and Rasmus Nicolaisen. But on Saturday, they linked up well for that opening goal. Cam Pring with a brilliant corner into the mixer, and Rasmus Nicolaisen with a fantastic header, bearing it into the corner to open the scoring. So it is good to see, as we've already mentioned, some of the fringe players who don't often get the game time regularly in the league actually perform well.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you say, Cam Pring, I think he had a good game. Rasmus, as I said earlier, one of those players that needs more of a chance, but I think he's got more to offer, to be honest. So, yeah, I'd like to see a bit more of him.
And speaking of Cam Pring's deliveries into the box, Ryan, I counted all of his corners. He had plenty of them. I think it's eight in total. Every single one of them, fantastic. None of this not beating the first man, none of this being hit too high and over everyone's head. All of the deliveries were actually pretty pinpoint, and that's something we have missed for a fair chunk of time. Someone who can consistently deliver balls into a box like that.
No, it is. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Steve Seddon last season also offered us something very similar from the left back position, as well as from set pieces. So I think it's something that Kenny Jackett looks at in a full back, their delivery. And especially from that left-hand side, the link-up with Ronan Curtis is so important for us. And I think Pring complements Curtis as well as Brown. And I think he does as well. And I think that's something that Kenny Jackett looks out for. So it's something that we can utilise throughout the season.
Yeah. And goal number two, then, in the 30th minute, Tom Naylor, with probably a contender for goal of the second round. Ivan Toney, I saw earlier in the week, has won goal of the second round of the FA Cup for 2 years running. But now he's at Brentford, he can't do it because they enter in the third round. So I think this one might go to Tom Naylor. But Curtis delivered the ball from the left-hand side. It bounced a bit, leaving Williams unable to control it in the middle. But Tom Naylor, the captain, picked up the pieces and dispatched a beautiful side-footed effort from right outside the box into the top corner. Just kissed the underside of the bar. And Archie Mayer had absolutely no chance of saving that one.
Pulls it back to the edge of the penalty area. It comes through to Williams. Naylor's shot! Oh, what a goal! What a strike from Tom Naylor. You can't stop him scoring.
Ben, Tom Naylor, three goals and three games for him now. And he's really on some fine form this season. He's shown what a leader he is in the middle for Pompey. But actually, pipping up with a few goals of his own as well. So it's great to see a captain that is in form like he is, but also having the confidence to strive forward and actually, you know, contribute to the goals as well.
Yeah, he's scored some crackers, hasn't he? I mean, I think all of his goals so far have been brilliant. He's a great team. I think, you know, after we spoke about a few weeks ago on the show, you know, he's quite a leader. But yeah, that got me off my seat on Saturday for sure.
And such an integral part to this team, Ryan. You know, Ben mentions there how Tom Naylor has scored a few goals from that similar position in recent weeks. The one against Ipswich in the first round of the FA Cup was actually from the exact same position. I know that was a bit of a deflection and, you know, there was a little bit of help behind that one. And then the one at Plymouth, of course, that was from a similar position as well. And the one on Saturday from the exact same position. So Tom Naylor, I think when he's 20, 25 yards away from goal, dead centre of the sticks, you just got to hope that he shoots now.
Well, I mean, it's sort of become part of his game. For me, he's one of, if not the most important player in this Pompey team. He, like Ben said, he's such a leader. He does the defensive duty so well. And now he's adding goals to his game too. So, I mean, if we keep him fit all season, like we have done in the past few seasons, I mean, and not drop him if we were to get into the playoffs, I think he's, like you say, an integral part of this team, scoring goals and defending as well.
Yeah, and that was 5 for the season for Tom Naylor in 19 appearances. His career best, Ben, 6 goals from 44 games in the 2015-16 season. So he only needs one more strike to match his best goal-scoring season. I think he might see that one out. You know, you can't bank on it, but I think he will. And I think he's picking up the nickname Top Bins Tom. You know, he's challenging his inner Steven Gerrard of late. And, you know, we've already mentioned how great of a player he is and how integral he is to his team, but when we head into this busy December period, yes, the Blues are on a decent run of form anyway in the league, but you need your captain to be on that kind of form. You need your captain to have that confidence and that swagger about him to really, you know, drive through the rest of the team, you know, because that confidence starts with him and it spreads out to the rest of the players as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's the busiest period of the season, isn't it? So many games coming and going. But, I think he's definitely suitable to carry us through. You know, if he can grab some goals along the way, then to take his tally up, that'd be brilliant.
Really, really would. Let's go on to the third goal then in the second half, just 6 minutes after the restart. That man again, by the way, lads. That man again, Sean Raggett, the king. He loves the FA Cup, doesn't he? He absolutely loves it.
In it comes, high, deep towards the far post. Header is into the net from Raggett. Rose above the whole King's Lynn defence.
Sean Raggett at the back post, Ryan Honey from a corner. I mean, it's inevitable nowadays, isn't it? Sean Raggett scoring from that kind of position. Again, you know, what a fantastic player he's been this season. He's had his critics since he joined the club last summer, but actually, I think he's proving a few of those wrong this season. And it's not just his performances at the back, but he's popping up with a few goals as well, like Tom Naylor. And he really is asserting himself as, you know, perhaps not a number one choice alongside Jack Watmore, but he's certainly, you know, proving why the manager's picking him week in, week out, because I think he's probably the most improved player this season.
Well, no, for sure. I think he's definitely showing that he can perform at this League One level. And I mean, like you say, he's added goals to his game this season. He's already got a few. And they've all really come from those headed positions. And I mean, he is a real threat going forward, as well as good defensively with his head as well. So, I mean, he's been a real asset to us, despite his critics. I mean, he sort of shrugged them off pretty well, really. And I mean, he's proven why he should be in the starting lineup.
Yeah, and then on the 56 minutes, just moments after the third goal, Marcus Harness, Ellis Harrison turned provider for this goal, and Marcus Harness done very well to turn and dispatch a low-driven shot just out of the reach of the visiting keeper. He timed his run well, and I think it was a very nice finish with his left foot as well, Marcus Harness.
Harrison plays it for Harness in the box. Harness, will he get the shot away? He will, and he'll score! Left-footed effort from Marcus Harness, drilled it into the bottom corner.
Not really much else has to be said on Marcus Harness, doesn't it, Ben? You know, we've banged the drum on how great a player he's been this season for Pompey, and really, Saturday was kind of routine for him. It was just another great performance from him. There's nothing really you can add to that, apart from the fact that he is keeping consistent now. And that's what at the start of the season we were hoping. We know that Marcus Harness is a fantastic player. He's got the ability to perform well in matches. But I think what we were looking for was consistency. And he is really proving that this season.
Yeah, he's constantly improving. I think he's a great player. Obviously, the fact that he scores goals week in, week out now, you know, it seems like he's double the player he was last season. So, I really like watching him, and I think that he's just getting better as he goes on.
Yeah, 68th minute, not too much to dwell upon. It was nothing short of a consolation goal for the visitors.
Headed by Kingsland back to the danger area, and they've got a man over here. Shot to come in on goal and into the back of the net. And Kingsland have themselves a consolation.
And if you're being critical for the sake of being critical and analytical, Ryan, you look at Callum Johnson in that position. He was caught out of position, and that allowed Southwell to, you know, easily score past Alex Bass, who didn't really have a chance of saving that from a one-on-one position. So, yes, if you're being critical, you can point your finger at Callum Johnson, but in a match where you're already leading by 4-0, sometimes the foot comes off the gas, but you can afford to do so in such a position.
I mean, in some aspects, yeah, you're right. The foot can come off the gas if we're leading by that margin. But, I mean, if we are going to go up this season, we need to keep concentrated for the full 90, because it's not always going to be like that. We're not always going to be 4-0 up, and lapses in concentration can happen at any time. And I think it came from a corner, and we never really pushed up as a unit, and there were a few stragglers, and then the ball came into the box, and it was a good finish from Southwell. He finished it really well past Alex Bass, but it was definitely avoidable. But you know, it was nice to see them get a consolation at the end of the day.
Yeah, and Ryan mentioned there, it was nice to see them get a consolation, Ben. You know, we never really, you know, like to celebrate other teams scoring, and we didn't. But, you know, we've mentioned at the top of the show that Pompey were professional on Saturday, but, you know, Kings Lynn did give it a real go, and they got a goal for their efforts. It was a consolation one, but it was nothing short of what they deserved.
No, I agree. I think they obviously played actually quite well for, obviously, their ranking. But, yeah, I think obviously if they keep going like that, there's no reason why they can't do well in their own league. But, yeah, I think they're definitely deserving of a goal. But, yeah. I think they're a good side.
Just 3 moments later, Pompey bounced back in style. They won a penalty up the other end. Cam Pring with a dart thrown down the left-hand side. Done very well to beat Ross Barrows, the rumoured Pompey target for pace. Pring managed to get a ball into the box, but Barrows did catch him in the process, and the ref did point to the spot. And up stepped Ellis Harrison.
Harrison looking for goal number 3 of the season. He'll step up right-footed and score, sending the goalkeeper the wrong way.
Not really too much you can analyse about a penalty, Brian, but it was a penalty. There's no doubting that one, as we have done in recent matches, the ones that have gone against Pompey. This was a clear-cut one, but you've got to give credit to Cam Pring there. I think, well, in my opinion, he was our man of the match on Saturday. I thought he had a fantastic game. Like I say, his deliveries into the box from corners and set pieces. He created that goal. You know, he won that penalty kick, and I just thought he had a solid performance all around. So I think you've got to give credit to Cam Pring for that one.
No, definitely. I mean, Cam Pring, not only does he have the set-piece delivery and the crossing ability, like you say, if you were to compare him with someone like Steve Seddon, Cam Pring would have a lot more pace, and that's something that would also help out in a left-back position nowadays. They need to be athletic. Yeah. And like I said before, he complements Ronan Curtis on the overlap, and I think it was Jordi Awula who found him on this occasion, and the touch looked really heavy, but he used his pace and won a... He even got the cross in, but still won a penalty. It was a great piece of play from the young left-back.
And with 10 minutes to go, Jordi Awula netted his first goal for the Blues, and what a finish it was.
Hawula's popped up, he's one-on-one with Barrows, and he's going to take him on and come into the penalty area, and Hawula wants to shoot. What a goal! Magnificent strike from Jordi Awula.
And Ben, we will speak about Jordi Awula in the next part of the show, but first of all, what a fantastic finish that was. If it hadn't been for Tom Naylor's strike earlier in the game, that probably would have been goal of the match.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you know, at the top, tying with goal of the game there. I mean, those were both great goals, but that was just perfect. He picked his area and he just got it right into the top corner. Really good shot.
Real nice run from the left-hand side as well. A little step over and a pinpoint curled loop over the Kingsland keeper. Like I say, his first goal for Pompey. OK, let's take a few moments now to hear from Blues skipper Tom Naylor, who looks ahead to a hectic December schedule. The captain spoke pitch side following Saturday's win over Kings Lynn and was first asked about his emphatic strike, which helped send Pompey on their way to round three.
Yeah, it's, when it comes to me, I just felt confident I could hit it, and it just came off the boot so sweet. I just watched it back then, to be fair, and all different angles, and it's a great strike. And it, like I said, it always looks better when it goes, hits the bar and goes in. So I'm over the moon. I've got a few now, so I want to keep adding them.
Is that the best goal of your Pompey career, or your career in general? Would you say?
I think it is. I think it's the best goal in my career, to be fair. Like I said, I don't score many outside the box like that. Usually headers or tappings or anything like that, but yeah, that's a sweet strike for me, and like I said, that is one of the best goals I've scored.
Like you say, you've been among the goals recently. Is it just been right place, right time, or what's the method to your madness?
It's just the I think it's timing of the I know where the ball's going to land. I know where if the boy is going to set me or not. And I just arrive late and try and have a few shots. Obviously, Ipswich was a bit different one because he got a few deflections. But since then, they've been the clean strikes, and I'm happy with the goals I've scored. And like I said, hopefully I can add more. And but it's all about getting to the third round and getting 3 points on match days.
Came at a crucial time as well, because at 1-0, Kingsland were coming back into it. Sort of personified the rest of the performance, really grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck, would you say?
Yeah, I think so. I think we massively deserve the lead. We were professional in all aspects of the game. But obviously, it was a bit. I didn't even see the goal because I came off and I just was getting my jacket, so I didn't really see the goal, what we conceded. But I think we bounced back straight away with two goals, and like I said, it was good. It was a great professional ethic and game today.
It's a big month coming up ahead now. You've got some teams around you, and if this month goes right, we're really staking the claim for the top of the table come the new year.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've got five massive games coming up. We've got Blackpool Tuesday, and we've got a Peterborough or Ipswich coming up. So it's a big month, massive month for us. And we'll have to see where we are after January. Try and get see if we can go stay round there or stay top.
Finally, Tom, who do you want in the next round?
It'd be nice to have Liverpool. I'm a Liverpool fan. It'd be nice to play at Anfield. I played them before when I was at Burton though, so it'd be nice to play at Anfield.
Captain fantastic Tom Naylor there with his thoughts following the FA Cup victory at the weekend. Keep those text, tweets and emails coming in to us Pompey fans. You've got just under 20 minutes to get your final thoughts across to us this evening. All the usual ways to get involved: start your text with the word Express followed by your name and message, and send those to 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, or head on over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/PompeyLive. You've just heard from Tom Naylor, who is hoping the Blues are drawn against Premier League champions Liverpool. But right now we want to know who you would like the Blues to draw in round three of the FA Cup, as well as your score predictions for tomorrow evening's league clash with Blackpool at Bloomfield Road. Myself, Ryan and Ben will be back in no time to preview that game and look ahead to tonight's cup draw right here on the only radio station proud to be passionately Pompey. You're listening to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome back for the final time tonight to the Monday Football Hour, supported this season by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app today or visit their website stagecoach.co.uk to plan your next journey. And please remember to follow the protocols sent out to keep you and your fellow passengers safe. A reminder also that a face covering must be worn at all times. We're going to move on now and begin to look ahead to Pompey's next fixture. The Blues make the trip up to Blackpool tomorrow night for match day number 15 in League One. A win at any stage is important, of course, but 3 points here would go a very long way in setting Pompey in good stead for what is set to be a tough and busy December period. So, what do we know about the Tangerines ahead of this match? Mason Jordan has all the inside information on the team led by former Liverpool youth coach Neil Critchley.
The Blues return to league action, match day 15 for Pompey in this midweek clash in the North West. The challenge for this one comes in the form of Blackpool.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Saturday's 6-1 drubbing of King's Lynn at Fratton sets Kenny Jackett's men up in good stead going into a busy December period, with confidence at an all-time high on the south coast. The Blues could make it 5 unbeaten in the league tonight if they avoid defeat, and Saturday's FA Cup golf fest has put Pompey in a position as England's highest domestic scorers so far, having netted 43 times in all competitions since the start of the season. Here's what we know ahead of kickoff about this week's opponents, Blackpool, aka the Tangerines.
Manager.
Blackpool have a new head coach in the name of Neil Critchley, who was appointed back in March, just weeks after Simon Grayson was relieved of his duties at Bloomfield Road. The 42-year-old is known to be held in high regard by supporters and colleagues from Liverpool, having coached their under-18s and the under-23s, and even the first team via a technicality on two separate occasions. Critchley stepped in for Jurgen Klopp to lead Liverpool in the Carabao Cup match away to Aston Villa last season, a game which saw a youthful side thrashed, as well as standing in later on in the campaign at home to Shrewsbury Town in the FA Cup replay, which his young side narrowly won. Blackpool stands as Critchley's maiden managerial gig. He has overseen 8 victories from his 21 competitive games in charge of the Seasiders.
One to watch.
23-year-old Ethan Robson is the name carrying a load of expectation at Blackpool this season. The Sunderland youth prodigy burst onto the scene in 2014 but failed to make a first team appearance until September 2017, coming on as a late sub for former Pompey James Vaughan in a 3-0 defeat to Everton in the League Cup. Robson enjoyed valuable loan spells out to Dundee and Grimsby Town between January 2019 and the tail end of last season, leaving the Stadium alight permanently this summer, having featured just 9 times for the Black Cats. The midfielder has been tipped for a big career in the Football League if given the game time to improve, and he has been given plenty of opportunities by Neil Critchley so far this season.
Top scorer.
Both CJ Hamilton and Jerry Yates have registered 4 goals and 2 assists in League One today. 25-year-old Hamilton, who can be deployed either out wide or up top, signed for Blackpool before the start of the season, having previously spent 4 seasons in League Two with Mansfield Town. Meanwhile, winger Jerry Yates also only linked up with the Tangerines this summer, signing on an undisclosed fee from Rotherham back in July. The 24-year-old was once rumoured to be a target for Pompey, though clearly nothing materialised from that. Yates has done one more striker on his teammate Hamilton, having netted 3-0 away to Eastbourne in the first round of the FA Cup.
Current form.
Blackpool sit in 15th in League One, having played 13 matches so far. Neil Critchley's side have acquired 16 points as a result of 5 wins, 7 defeats and just the one stalemate, scoring 14 and conceding 18 in the process. The last 5 league matches have returned 3 wins and 2 defeats, though on Saturday the Tangerines made it through to the third round of the FA Cup after a 4-0 victory at Harrogate Town. Blackpool have also made it through to the knockout stages of the EFL Trophy, where they will face neighbours Fleetwood Town next month in the round of 32. Can Pompey peel the Tangerines apart and make it 5 league games unbeaten in a row, or will the host stop the Blues in their tracks? All the unmissable action is on Pompey Live.
A closer look there at the challenge that lies ahead for Pompey tomorrow evening. Blackpool, who have had quite a mixed start to the season. OK, I want to get on to a talking point which we didn't really have too much time to talk about in the last part of the show, Ryan, and that was some of the fringe players within this squad and the chances they are getting this season. We've spoken about Jordi Hawula. He scored a fantastic strike on Saturday, and you can only hope that might implement into Kenny Jackett's mind that actually he's a player he will be wishing to extend the contract of in January when his contract does expire. But you've got the likes of Paul Downing, James Bolton, who are, you know, on the wage bill. They're not playing. You know, we haven't heard about Paul Downing in a very long time. And Rasmus Nikolaisen as well, who had a, you know, we mentioned about his great performance on Saturday, but prior to that, not really been involved too much. He's been quite in the shadows a little bit. So these are the players, Ryan, who you've got to question, do they have a future at this club? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Jake, I think you've knocked the nail on the head there, mate. I don't know
it's
their
a difficult
future.
One.
I mean, Paul Downing, it's a massive question mark, isn't it? He's not been involved at all this season. He hasn't made a single appearance. I think Bolton's made maybe one or two, one coming in the EFL Trophy game against West Ham on 21s. I think obviously Rasmus has been involved a little bit more, and he's come out and said that if he's not playing more, he won't hesitate to leave in January and go back to FC Michelin. So, I mean, it looks as though Jacket has his squad, and he has those that he wants to utilise. And I mean, even Hadji Onoga is ahead of James Bolton in that pecking order. So it looks as though those two in particular, Bolton and Downing, will be ones he'll be looking to offload in January.
We got a tweet in from Niall Judge who says, I'd be happy for Rasmus to head back to Midtjylland in January. In my opinion, we need a better centre-back to improve that area. And the only way we'll do that is if Rasmus goes back. I feel bad for him, but I don't see him getting another league start unless injury or suspension, the other two. Vincent Sim says he is definitely capable of playing backup to Raggett and Watmore, but if he is going to disrupt the squad by complaining about match time, as he has been, then he has to leave in January. And Josh Sweetman also on Twitter says, but my opinion is Rasmus still needs to prove his physical ability. Plymouth proved he still has a lot to learn positionally. Raggett doesn't get the praise he deserves defensively. Will always be mocked for his technical skill, says Josh Sweetman on Twitter. And looking ahead a little bit to tomorrow night's game, then Ben, Blackpool away. It's a fixture we all look at in the calendar at the start of the season. It's one of the greatest away days of the campaign. Unfortunately, it does come just before the end of lockdown. We're unlikely to see away fans at any ground, you know, until the end of the season anyway. But Blackpool, they are a bit of a mixed bag this season. Tipped to be one of the perhaps underdogs of the campaign. They've got a few decent players within their squad, but they seem to win one, lose one, win one, lose one. So it's a bit hard to tell this one, but you would like to think that with Pompey's form of late, we should get the job done.
Yeah, you'd like to think so, wouldn't you? But obviously, can't say anything in this league. But I think, you know, it's a big game, but next Saturday is probably bigger, so I think he'll probably make a few changes, to be honest. But, you know, maybe Nicolaisen or Hula might actually start. You know, we'll have to wait and see. Yeah.
And just very quickly as well, we're going to go through some of the numbers for tonight's FA Cup third round draw. Pompey, of course, ball number 51. There are 64 teams in this draw. We're not going to mention all of them, of course, otherwise we'll be here forever. But you've got the likes of Arsenal, ball number 2. Brighton, Hove Albion again, their ball number 8. Chelsea, ball number 12. Leeds United, ball number 19. Premier League champions Liverpool, a number 21. Manchester City are 23, Manchester United are 24, Millwall, ball number 26, that'd be a tasty tie, wouldn't it? Queen's Park Rangers, we seem to get them every single year, they're number 31, that's one to avoid, definitely. Those locked down the road, number 36, another one potentially to avoid. Tottenham Hotspur, top of the Premier League as it stands, ball number 39. Kenny Jackett's former side, Watford, ball number 40. And then you've got some League 1 and 2 teams between balls number 44 all the way down to number 64 as well. You've got some non-league sides in there as well. Stockport County, ball number 49. Chorley, ball number 53. They defeated Peterborough at the weekend. And you've also got Marine, number 58, who unfortunately beat Havant towards Louisville yesterday afternoon. And you've got the winner of tonight's tie between Canvey Island and Boreham Wood. They are ball number 60. And we mentioned there Marine, Ryan. Of course, you've got your allegiances to Havant towards Louisville this season. You're doing a great job, by the way. You and Henners are delivering the content fantastically. But
thank you.
That was upsetting, wasn't it? You know, I think every Pompey fan, and I'm sure
was really
banking on that one.
It was. It was a sucker punch right at the death. I mean, it looked for all the world it was going to penalty kicks, and after going down to 10 men in just the last embers of normal time and then holding on throughout extra time, it looked penalty kicks was destined, but it wasn't to be. And a heartbreak for Havant and those Havant fans, but jubilation for Marine. Only the second time in their history they've reached this particular round, so good luck to them.
Best of luck to them. You know, you don't want to be bitter in defeat. You know, Marine, you've got to give credit to them. They played well in that match. Just a real big sucker punch, as you say, Ryan. 120th minute, Niall Cummins scoring a bit of a scrappy winner away from home. But the Hawks are out of the FA Cup and Marine are through. And as I say, they are one of Pompey's potential opponents for the next round. Adam Gillen says he wants us to be at home to either Canvey Island or Boreham Wood. James Street says home draw, don't mind who we get. Pudubia on Twitter says Morecambe at home to see the incomparable Derek Adams on the Fratton Park touchline again. And Anthony Hess says I'd usually want one of the big guns, but in these strange times, we'd rather get a team we have a better chance of beating, i.e. non-league or lower league club. Just quickly, very few score predictions for tomorrow night's tie. Away to Blackpool, Michael Charlton's going for 3-2. Pompey, Patrick Munn's going for 3-1 win. Steve Slight's going for a 2-2 draw. Deborah Edwards says 1-0 Pompey. Gary Cornwell is going for a 2-1 Pompey victory. And Paul O'Neill's going for a 2-0 win to the Blues. Just very, very quickly, Ryan Honey, very quick score prediction. Tomorrow evening, Pompey away to Blackpool.
I think both teams will score. I'm going to go 3-1 Pompey.
3-1 Pompey, says Ryan. Ben, what about you, mate? How do you see this one unfolding?
Yeah, it's going to be a real close one. I think I'm going to go for 2-1 Pompey, though.
Lads, thank you both very much for joining me this evening. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Pompey win tomorrow night. So, Blackpool await Pompey in their next league fixture at Bloomfield Road, and you can catch all of the unmissable action right here on Express FM.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey saw off National League side Kings Lynn Town on Saturday with a 6-1 win at Fratton Park.
And Ahoula wants to shoot! What a goal! What a way to get your first Portsmouth goal!
Up next, the Blues are heading to Blackpool for a Tuesday night League One showdown. Join us for all of the unmissable action from 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Do not miss that one. Tune in to see if Pompey can keep up with the pace set at the top. Once again, a huge thank you to both Ryan Honey and Ben Chu for calling in to chat this evening. Thanks to Stagecoach across the South for supporting the show. And of course, thank you for tuning in and getting in touch with us throughout the course of the hour. We've got a fantastic evening lined up for you. We really have. Jeff and Adrian are back after the 7 o'clock headlines with this week's instalment of a soft rock show. The guys will be playing the latest hits from the likes of Amber Bugs, King Gizzard and Avalon Emerson through until 9 p.m. when Liam Howes takes you into the night with timeless classics and some soothing tunes to help you unwind on this Monday evening. Mason Jordan is back with Portsmouth Breakfast tomorrow morning from 7 o'clock. He's got all the usual great songs, the latest Portsmouth travel, sport and news, and of course for Rewind Year from 9 a.m. Darren Gamblin is back from 10 a.m. with just great moaning, he says, all morning long through till 1 o'clock. Ian James is back playing Who Am I? It's a guessing game, and he'll also be introducing the victory years at 2 p.m. with more great songs from the 70s, 80s and 90s. Connor Mosley is back from 4, keeping you company with Drive. And then from 6 p.m, it's Pompey Live. Pompey travel to Blackpool, Bloomfield Road, match day number 15 in League One. Find out if the Blues can keep up with the pace set at the top of the table. Have a fantastic evening, Pompey fans. Thank you for tuning in, and good night.